Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christy, Marie, and Julie. Website, lifewiththegirlfriends.com.
Well.
Hello there, girlfriend.
You sound so professional.
And also, hey, you over there, mama. You're a psychotherapist, a coach, an author.
Hey, you with the pretty face.
I'm your daughter.
Welcome to the human race. Yeah. You are my daughter.
Everybody's up there waiting for the day.
You know what's so cool about today, about this particular radio show?
Tell me.
The audience will never guess. Well, I don't know. Maybe they will guess. But what is so particularly cool about this show is that...
pantless.
Now, that is nothing new.
This is true.
That is nothing new. But here is what's new. Julie and I are both in blindfolds.
That's right. That's right. We are both in blindfolds.
We have taken and accepted the Bird Box challenge. And we are, and it's interesting because she's operating the board.
Yes.
The computer board.
Yes.
In the blindfold. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice. You do it all by touch.
Right. I'm assuming it's all going down correctly.
Yeah.
You know. And at first you were saying, one of us must take the blindfold off, but who? And then finally you said, neither one of us will take the blindfold off. And I'm like, I'm there, girlfriend. I'm there for the challenge, the Bird Box challenge.
Do you know what I felt so, like, duh?
Oh, yeah. Okay, are you going to do a spoiler alert?
Just like the last 10 minutes of the movie?
Then just go, I felt duh. I
should.
Because to the whole movie, you're going, I wrote this movie.
Yeah.
The fact that they were moving the story plot forward through radio announcements.
Yeah, that
and
was
news,
like, hello, just go see Zits, a zombie dramedy on YouTube.
Because that's what we wrote, man.
We wrote that. We wrote about the virus.
Yeah. Hey, girl, put your hands a little bit further away. Yeah, perfect.
I can't tell because of the blindfold.
I'm sorry. That's right.
How does it? I don't even know.
It's going fine.
I'm about to use my other hand.
Yeah, you know, you're good. You're fine.
Did you look at the board?
No, I'm not looking at the board. It's all by my headphones are pumping in your sound.
Got it.
You're a little bit high.
Got it.
And now you're just perfect. I was able to touch my thing. And it's all by touch, people. It's all by touch.
And today when we go to the grocery store,
I'm going blindfold. And what I will do is I will just put a note as I am, you know, no worries, people. I'm doing the Bird Box challenge. And they're like, oh,
not
whatever.
One of those people.
Now, all right, am I being photographed? Well, you know, it's funny because I still have nightmares of that time. Not nightmares, but you remember when I was at Aldi? Because that's my store of choice.
Yes.
Aldi's my store of choice.
Yes.
And I'm going shopping and this one guy said, just stay right there, right where you're at. I'm like, okay. He goes, okay, thank you. I'm like, all right, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was a guy who was, maybe one of his goals was to go grocery shopping, but it was in my mind, I'm having to create a story.
I know.
Otherwise, I should be feeling really bad with myself. Like, how horrible am I that you can't even let me come near you? Do I smell bad?
No. If you would have known even the whole story, he needed you to stay back because this is his first time in a grocery store. He actually had a little support teacup poodle.
Yes, and he didn't want anybody to know about it.
That's right.
And so I had created this whole story just for my own benefit. Otherwise, you know, and then when I would see other people come near him.
Did he say anything to them?
No. What? But maybe, you know. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm like, what's so wrong with me? But oh well. So now I'm just, you know, is Aldi the place we all go to try our weird stuff? And I'll be the bird box girl.
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'm completing my master's program and I have to live the day of a woman being in a post-apocalyptic era. And this is what I'm choosing.
At Aldi.
Hello, people. This is how I'm choosing it to go down. But, okay, did we discuss Bird Box last week? I don't think we did.
No. You know, I saw it like 2 days ago.
Oh, did we? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyway, I'm giving it a good rating. You're giving it a good rating too.
Oh yeah, I saw it twice. Right, I saw it once, and then I saw it again.
Yes,
like right after the same.
Oh my gosh! And what I'm realizing is that good job,
I missed
Netflix.
A lot during the first one.
Did you?
Yeah.
I think we stopped a couple times, and yeah. I didn't finish the ending.
Yeah.
But what I do realize about it is that they can make these movies on the cheap now.
Oh, yeah.
And they had good actors.
Yeah.
You just need a couple of good actors to carry it. Yeah. You know, and you're intrigued. You're like, hey, John Malkovich. Hello. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah.
And I love that. Oh, I don't want to give it away now because I was going to comment on something, but I can't give it away.
Jill, you bug me incredibly when you do that. But well,
there is a cameo from this one guy. He always plays the odd guy that has a vision issue in every movie.
Like, oh, him?
He was in the X-Files.
Yeah.
And he had a vision issue.
Oh, you knew?
His eyes.
I was sure that you did not know that guy.
Oh, I knew that guy.
Yeah.
And then also in Constantine, you know, he plays a guy who sees visions, but he has an interesting eye issue.
Yeah.
And his eyes go back and forth really fast.
Right.
And so I don't know if he is how visually impaired he is or what. But he always plays a guy like, we need a guy that has some kind of eye issue. I know who to get.
Yeah.
You know, good for him. And he was actually, because when, you know, when you're starting out as an actor, you always are so judgy of your own personal looks and all that stuff. But for a character actor, you should go balls in. You're like, yeah, I'm going to work with this. This is who I am.
I remember listening to an interview with Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
And he was saying that when he was first getting into Hollywood, he said that he got a call from his agent, and he said, you know, that they're really looking for like a really weird type, kind of creepy, kind of really weird, and you know, they want you to audition for it. And he went, well, great. What kind of makeup do they want me to get into? What kind of, you know, prosthesis? He went,
No, just be yourself.
Just be yourself, dude.
like what?
Well, like you said, at every age. Well, when I was growing up, the Steve Buscemi of my generation was Ron Howard's brother.
Yes.
And I don't know what his name is, but I'm sure his last name is Howard.
Yes. He'd be smart.
Noel Howard. I don't know. John Howard. I don't know. Mike.
Mike, yeah. Ed. Bud.
Yeah.
Bud Howard.
But he was that creepy guy.
Yeah.
He made a nice little life being creepy in Ron Howard movies.
And he also was pretty much in the 80s, he was in lots of different horror movies.
Yes.
Weird ones that you could only get on video. And I think he was like the ice cream man. I remember something about an ice cream man that would come and take your soul. And I think he was the ice cream man.
Mm.
You know, I'm thinking that was his thing. But you're right. And if you look at him, you're like, well, he's not offensive looking.
No.
But he's just a little off.
Just something creepy.
Just something off, and you're working it, and you're like, okay, you're good, you're working it.
So, you know, I mean, you figure like, you know, you get known as the guy with the eye condition.
Right.
Or the guy with the creepy looks.
And then you go, wait a minute, there will come a time when that person is needed. And then you're like, oh my God, that's
sign
a
me up.
Yeah,
sign me up. And here's the thing, you got to live a small enough life.
Yeah.
You got to keep your weight off.
Or on, depending on what your look is.
Yeah, whatever your look is.
Yeah.
But you got to keep that going.
Yeah, because in
just
some
for
ways,
that moment in
you're
time,
not the lead actor who
never.
Gets paid to, quote unquote, dive into the role.
No.
They're hiring you specifically to be the role.
Right.
Like, okay, we have this look. Yeah. This is who you are. Yeah. We're getting you, you know?
But, you know, the blindfolds that we're wearing, I have to say, we can kind of see through them.
Yes.
And I don't really know if that's the case with Sandra Bullock.
Well, we during the movie, they gave us many shots with the camera, with a blindfold over the camera, and you can kind of see light.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of figuring. So I got this, the kind of material that if we just, you know, if we're really conscientious, we can see through it.
What was that? What was that over there? I saw light.
Don't say it. Beautiful. It's so beautiful.
So I want to kill
it's
myself.
It's so beautiful.
It was a mixture of an M. Night Shyamalan movie. You know, the one.
Shyamalama Ding Dong.
What was that movie called? Where everybody, the trees wanted you to commit suicide.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that movie was. That was fabulous.
The suicidal trees.
Yes. No, they weren't suicidal trees.
No, I know.
They made you want to commit. Yeah. They were.
It was like those people. They lived in the 1800s.
Yeah,
no, and it was 1990.
No. Yeah, no, not
no,
that
no,
movie.
Not that one.
And not the movie about the woman in the lake or the woman in the pool.
No,
not that one.
Not
either.
Not that one either.
You know, he has got an interesting career.
Oh, what about it's the cornfields that make you kill yourself?
Yeah.
Is that it?
That wasn't it either. Oh. Nor the aliens. Oh. Or the guy from the that can see dead people. Not him either.
I see jokes, people.
Yeah, exactly.
What about it? Everyone. Is it the guy that when you go onto the baseball field, you think all things are possible?
Not that guy in that movie either. And he didn't have it. He didn't touch that movie. I said, about Field of Dreams? No, not that movie. You know, it's so interesting, that movie.
You know, a dream is only a wish that we ain't put into action yet.
Yeah, that's right. Something like that. Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny about that movie, Field of Dreams, because it was filmed in Iowa. And somehow,
just right across the street from us, basically.
Somehow they created this stupid baseball field from the movie. And the way they created it and where the lighting was at or whatever, they had to design it touching a part of a second person's property.
Uh-huh.
And so, consequently, once we were gone, they wanted to create this thing. Two families had to work together to get this done, and it never was. It never got done.
No.
Like, people were always fighting about it. Oh. But you can go and see, but, like, they had, competing T-shirt, you know, kiosks and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
You know, competing, like, hot dog stands.
My Field of Dreams is bigger than your Field of Dreams.
Yes, exactly. Even
well,
though,
here's the problem with that, because I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, you know, you talked about Iowa. Well, that's our neighbors to the west, but our neighbors to the east is Indiana.
Yeah.
And Indiana is a site of Hell House.
Yes.
And let me tell you something.
And we're not talking about Mike Pence's former residence. We're not talking about that.
Although some gay people might think so.
Yeah, that's right. That is definitely Hell House.
But on Hell House, the people who lived in Hell House, you know, Zach Bagans, our dude that we love.
You listened to last week's episode, you know that I did a yearly review. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I took my notes and threw them aside and talked only about ghost adventures.
And we do not know why, but now, coming full circle, Zach Bagans, who bought Hell House for $35,000 in Gary, Indiana.
Yep.
He wanted to go find the residents that used to live there.
Yes.
This was when she had three children, the lady did, and the social worker and the psychiatrist all saw one of the boys walk up the wall backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Not just walk up the wall, but walk up the wall backwards.
Right, because walking up the wall would have been cool.
Yeah.
But still somewhat plausible. Yeah. But walking out backwards,
then you're like possessed.
Yeah.
Exorcism time.
Yes.
And so anyway, so she had moved out with her three kids, and Zach wanted to get a hold of her, and he found out where she lived because she was not answering any of his texts, any of his emails, or any of his phone calls. He had to find out on his own.
Yeah.
Through investigative work where she lived. And then he went there, knocked on the door. And guess what?
Mm-mm.
She went and talked to him. And she had a reason.
What was the reason?
She said, I am in negotiations with someone else. And I am under, like, strict orders not to
talk to anybody.
To you. Now, even though he bought her house.
Yeah.
Now, here's the rest of the story. Her boyfriend came and walked Zach Bagans back to his car.
Yeah.
And he said, Zach, let me tell you something. I got stories about that house, but it's going to cost you a pretty penny. He said, and he goes, look, I know you offered us some money, but man, we're talking what you offer me is peanuts, man.
Peanuts.
Compared to what I can get. So are we ready to negotiate, my man? Are we ready to negotiate? Now, having said that, one would think that this is like a total BS thing.
Yeah.
But, oh no, I didn't see it because I was sick as a dog.
Right.
But you and Dad had chills, right? You had verification because in Zach's world, if you have goosebumps,
you have verification.
It's verification.
Goosebumps is just another word for yes. You are seeing, there is somebody right behind you. Yeah. Not that the door's open or that the action went on. No. I mean, sometimes they are able to debunk things.
Yes.
But typically, if you're feeling a chill, verification. What I love about this is that, you know, first off, I love this idea that they allowed us to see the fact that they're trying to negotiate. And this family who had this Hell House experience,
right?
You know, it was they're basically saying, you know, like, hey, you know, and I get it because this is their one chance.
Yeah.
How often are you given an opportunity
in Gary, Indiana?
Yeah, to like break free.
Yeah.
And then on my other side, like, did you cause this? Did you guys start this? Was this like a? It's sort of like, remember that family who
sent their child in an air balloon?
Yes. Now this is because we are mother and daughter. I said, remember that family? And in my mind, I have this little boy up in a chair filled with balloons, and you're like, I know that, Julie. Not another word. Yuck, I didn't say one word. I said, you remember that family? It could have been 1,000 different families, but you knew right away.
I knew it was a little air balloon boy.
And it was all a ruse.
Yeah.
You know, it's all a problem. Yeah. And it was all because they wanted to get, you know, media attention.
Yeah. How many hits can we get and go viral?
This is ridiculous. We live in a really weird world where we can become this. And then, but the one thing I want to say is that this stuff does come clean, though. Like, remember that story, social media story about it was a GoFundMe plan where it was all fake, it was all a ruse. These two people were helping this homeless guy, and then they're supposed to share the money afterwards.
Yeah.
And that, but it was all a ruse, and the reason why it got found out because they didn't give any money to the homeless dude. They're just like, we're giving you some, aren't you?
And he was like, no, wait a minute,
we're supposed to share this.
We had a dealio here.
We're hearing a dealio here.
Yeah.
And like, no, we're taking it back. And. Yeah.
Boom.
Somebody I knew.
Exposed.
And she actually gave money to that fund.
Oh, wow.
She gave $5.
Whoa.
And she got her money back, but she gave $5.
Whoa.
And I'm like, what? That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Whoa.
I know, right?
I don't know what to think about that.
I know. It's crazy.
But anyway, Zach, to get back to what I'm talking about.
So go back. So then, Zach, so I think it's interesting. You fell asleep. And so I was out, and then because
I
New
would
Year's
wake
Day,
up in commercial time,
yeah.
And you guys would be going, "Did that just happen? Oh my God! I saw a black figure."
Yes,
Dad. I heard Dad go, "I got goosebumps." No, you were like, "No, I got goosebumps."
Yes,
and it was interesting because you guys were like, there was like these matching goosebumps, and they were all forming in like 666s.
Well, Normana was saying stuff like, "I'm hearing noises in the closet." I'm like, oh my God, no.
And that's
I can't
not
really...
unusual for that closet.
No, it's not. But, you know, and then what was really weird, I was having eye pain. Like, you know,
because
I was having like severe eye pain. And then as actually I was like having eye pain, the next
Zach.
Thing out of Zach's mouth is, and then my eyes started to hurt. And then I started to become very aggressive. And then I had to leave or I was going to kill someone. I'm like, what the what the hell? And I'm like, oh my God, my eyes were hurting too. And in the show, we find at the end that Zach supposedly had some kind of eye condition happen while he was there.
He had crossed eyes.
Yes.
His eyes were crossing.
And now he has to wear glasses with prisms in them.
So they don't cross.
Because it's like a couple years old.
Yeah.
Or in the making. Yeah. It's a couple years in the making.
Do you think that makes him more or less attractive, those glasses?
Well, I feel bad because I have been talking to you about how this is his uniform.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for my own uniform because I'm feeling kind of old.
I know.
And I'm like, well, if I have a uniform such as, you know, big glasses, maybe a hat.
Yeah.
He also wears a face mask a lot.
Yeah.
I thought I could wear like a pretty fedora. Not, what do you call those?
A fedora?
No, like feather.
A mantilla? Oh, a boa.
A boa.
Yeah. Oh, kind
of. Like,
oh, my God.
Or like a scarf. Something like that.
A scarf.
Yeah.
Yes. Or a boa.
A boa constrictor.
A real boa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well, I'm looking for like, who was it that we watched? I can't remember. I go, but that's his uniform. He was all in black.
Yeah.
He had a black t-shirt on and black pants.
It wasn't Zach?
No, but it was somebody else we were watching. I go, look, he's got a uniform.
Yeah.
It was just like a black, you know, basic t-shirt we were watching on TV.
I mean,
I can't remember.
We all have our own particular uniforms.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have something that as soon as somebody sees you.
Yeah, like, oh, that's what she always wears. That's what he always wears.
Exactly.
Or that they always wear, depending on where we are.
So really, Jules, for 2019, we are going to have, other than just sitting here being pantsless.
Yes.
We're going to have some sort of uniform. That's just like I've been watching on Netflix, I'm Sorry.
Yes.
And on one episode, the mama.
You're forgiven. No. Yeah.
She finds, since she's been married, I don't know how many years they've been married, 7 or 8, This is the first weekend that her husband's going to be gone on business, and it was the daughter's Grammy weekend.
Right.
So she's by herself for the whole weekend, and the first thing she does is she just takes off her pants. And you got to understand that.
Yeah.
So she vacuums pantsless.
Yes.
She runs out and gets the paper pantsless.
Yep.
She just takes a nap pantsless. She got a top on.
Yeah.
But everything else,
pantsless.
Pantsless. And you know what? You got to understand that.
You got to understand it.
So, I mean, we're just talking a uniform that is on top.
Yes.
And I'm thinking a t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind black t-shirt.
Mm-mm.
I'm thinking V-neck, kind of a low
just
V-neck.
Just long enough that if something went down, you'd be basically covered.
Yeah, it's not bad.
No. And that's the key. If you're going to go pantless, the key to being pantless is you need to have a top just long enough.
And here's what's long enough. If I'm seeing you from behind, I can only see a little bit of your butt cheeks.
Yes, or none at all.
Nah,
but if you're gonna bend over, you're gonna get a whole.
Yeah,
you don't bend over.
But you genuflect.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do want to have an emblem, just a small circle emblem that says "I see jokes, people."
I love it,
and I want it to be 3/4 sleeves because
mm-hmm.
I like 3/4 sleeves because when you roll them up, it makes you look like a politician. Like I rolled up my sleeves.
I'm getting the job done. I also either go 3/4 sleeves rolled up or long sleeves so they kind of
cover our fucking fingers.
Yes, I love that
love
look
it.
Too. I look like I have very long hands. I'm very long hand, Julie.
And
they have the hole in this end of the sleeves, like my thumb in it.
Yeah.
So that the when I raise my arms,
yeah,
they still stay up.
Yeah.
So I like that look too.
Yeah.
So either the short look to have the rolled up sleeve look.
Yeah.
Or I work so hard no one sees me sweat. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like that.
I'm for the politician look.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you've been really sleeves. Requiring yourself to be a politician lately.
I'm wanting to be of use, of service.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
When I find my service to the planet,
mm-hmm.
I want to roll up my sleeves and do it.
Yeah.
Until then, I see jokes, people.
And there is nothing wrong with that.
Speaking of, you know, your fingers coming out of your sleeves,
mm-hmm.
I've been hearing a lot lately about these people that are just going about their day,
mm-hmm.
and they find that somebody puts their fingers up their butt hole.
Mm, yeah.
Now, have you been hearing about that? You've not been hearing about that?
It's a thing, right?
It's kind of a thing. Like,
yeah.
You're just, like, bending over, doing your work or something, and then all of a sudden somebody, you don't know who, tries and puts their finger up your butthole.
Like drops a digit on you or something like that? Like, I remember in the day...
By digit, do you mean...
When you would bend over, and in the day, you'd have that space between your jeans and your butt cheeks. You know, there's that when you bend over, there's naturally would be a gap there.
Yeah.
And sometimes as kids, we would try and, like, if somebody would see that gap, we would try and, like, throw paper triangles into the gap. You know,
our playing spitballs. Cards.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. That would be, like, the thing.
Or park your bicycle.
Yes. It would require someone to be standing for quite a while and to not move in a pretty big gap. But we were all there for that. I know you've got a little bit of cold, but you're still a champion. Here you are.
I know.
And so,
queen.
I think that I have not heard about that. I think things change. Like, that's not appropriate now to do that stuff.
That's not part of the Me Too movement.
No. It's like, Me Too, do not touch me, you know?
Yeah.
And so now we're all, butt cracks aren't funny anymore. Well, they used to be kind of funny.
No, but buttholes still are.
Yes.
Come on.
But no one better try. I mean, there is a difference between putting like a paper triangle in that space and having somebody actually trying to go up your butt.
Yeah.
That's a little gross. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing, though. If somebody is trying to go up your butt,
mm-hmm.
okay, this is just what I'm thinking. You have to make a decision. Would you rather be roofied or passed out or awake?
Well, I mean, if I'm awake, I know it's going down. I can move away.
So you would run away from it?
Yeah, I would. Am I being paid? Because I was watching, you haven't been feeling well, and so I come home and you're watching Botched.
Yeah.
And because that's your go-to. You have botched and ghost adventure. Your go-to sick
stuff. That's my go-to, yeah.
Like, I'm so sick. Travel, really, adventure. I'm so sick. Yeah. And so I'm like, what's going on, girlfriend? I'm so sick. And then I turn around and I'm looking at a man who has boobs.
Yeah.
Not just, but now he's not transitioning. He literally is a 55, 60-year-old man who, as a dare for $100,000, said, I'll give you $100,000 if you put in boobs.
And they were D's. D-cups. Yeah.
And I thought, God, I wish I had that. I wish somebody would bet me that.
Yeah.
I'd have that boob job for $100,000. And I'd let you touch him too. If anybody wants to talk to me about that, please email me. I'm fine. If you've got a $100,000 around, I'm open.
Yeah.
So, and then you think, so I'm watching this guy. Mm-hmm. And the weird part is that he also bet a doctor a hand of gambling, or backgammon, mm-hmm. or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if he won, he'd do it for free. Mm-hmm. So he won, and the guy, the surgeon, put in boob implants for free. Mm-hmm. And now it's been, you know, 20
years.
Yeah, a long time later. The guy's like, I kind of got used to him.
Yeah.
I kind of like him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, there is a whole world out that I'm not aware of.
We don't know.
I mean, here is a guy who runs around with gamblers.
Yeah.
Gambling doctors, gambling lawyers, gambling this, and they all continuously just bet.
They just gamble.
And they dare people to do this, and they have tons of money to gamble with.
Isn't that cool?
It's very cool, and it's also offensive.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, I bet you can't give me any money.
I bet you're not going to be on the food line next week.
I mean, like, it's like, how do you live, how do you get into that lane.
Yeah.
That lane where this is a lane, this is who you're hanging out with.
Yeah, you're hanging around with past plastic surgeons and gambling men, and $100,000 is nothing.
And it's a dare.
Yeah.
And you choose to do it.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, this is it.
I kind of want, let's see, if you're a gambler like that, I want you every once in a while, like once a year, to make a bet that hurts. I think you should be required.
Right.
I think it should be like tithing.
I think
at some point, there's got to be at some point where you tithe and you go, you know what? This week, this hurts.
Well, it was funny because I listened to an NPR story about gambling one time on This American Life. And now I might be combining two stories. I'm not sure.
Go ahead, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is it the Kenny Rogers story?
No. This one woman talked about, she was a professional gambler. And she said, you have to stick to, every gambler has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, what inevitably happens, you know, you've won, you got your little kitty going, and then you start to be on a losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you want to give up your plan,
mm-hmm.
and that's the worst thing you do.
Wow.
But you get down, and she goes, I've been down to like a couple of grand.
Wow.
And had to work my way back up again. And you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And see, that would make me physically ill.
It'll make me.
Because what happens is their $1 million means nothing to them.
Yeah. Right.
Because, you know.
And do you remember for that short time when we were day traders?
Yes.
This was like 10 years ago.
Yes. We were day traders for like 3 days.
For like 3 days. Yes. And we were so sick.
Yes.
We were like so sick because it was at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Or was it 7?
Might have been 7.
7 o'clock in the morning to 7:05.
Yeah.
We would put our trades in, and we'd be so sick because
like,
we like, oh, that guy lost $65 a day.
Yeah, you know? You're like, look at it. We put $1,000 in.
No, it was $5,000.
No, it wasn't $5,000.
I'm pretty sure it was $5,000.
No, was it?
What kind of place would only take $1,000 to start you up?
A lot of places.
You really?
Yeah. Or no, maybe we had $5,000 in the account, but we only put in $1,000.
Okay, I believe
on our
that.
First trade.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. And so, but just watching it day in and day, moment by moment, up and down, up and down, up and down,
and
up,
like,
and down.
At 7:05, I was like exhausted.
Yeah.
And like, I said, Julie, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I cannot live this way. So that's how much of a risk taker I am.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet, I'm the girl that takes the little boat, the tiny little boat.
Yes.
That the guy goes, please do not take this into the ocean.
You're at Marco Island.
Yeah.
And you're renting a pontoon.
Right.
And then they say, here, you can go anywhere in the channels, but do not take this out into the ocean. And the first thing you do is,
oops.
Not oops. Oops means you've, like, were wearing your blindfold and heard, you literally made the wrong turn.
I heard the sound of whales.
Yeah. And you go, I'm going. And you
and
did.
Then when that big boat came by mm-hmm. and nearly capsized us, then I understood
why you should.
I should not have been out there. Yeah. It wasn't until then that I understood. Because it was not me, just me out there in the ocean. I could handle that.
Yeah.
It was when somebody else got into my space.
That's how life is.
That is not going to happen. That's and then they almost capsized me.
Yeah. Well, you know, you learn. You live and learn.
Live and learn.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it? I know. So I still don't know what we're talking about. It kind of
NPR.
Oh yeah. And the other story was this church group. This guy got his church group together, and they were going to become like this group of gamblers, counting cards and helping each other make money, and then giving it to the church. That was their goal, and they got really good at it. Like, really good.
It sounds like Irma's church.
Yes. And so good that they got kicked out of a couple of different places, you know.
Oh, my God.
But what happened
was
because they weren't taking – I think some people started getting a little greedy, or they wanted to go like, well, what? We should take some for us, right?
10% at least.
Yeah, at least 10% for us. Yeah. Or why not just 10% for the church?
Yeah.
But they kept justifying the fact that, well – we're not doing anything typically illegal. We're working together, but it's for the church, man. Right. It's for the church. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know what? There are some industrious people out there.
Yeah.
Like, you go, guys. I'm just making, you know, cookies for my church. Yeah. I'm trying to sell
them
at the corner.
I bought the rights to those gambling nun story. I bought that right, so in case we want to turn it into a little project for Netflix.
Oh, cool.
You know those three nuns that decided to get together and just gamble for the church?
Uh-uh.
And then they got really good at it, and then they started like, you know what?
Gambling for themselves.
Church. Yeah.
They don't need all this money.
Yeah, they don't need all this money. And then
what they done for me?
Exactly. So I think I'm going to produce that for Netflix.
I love it.
Next year.
Well, yeah. And I know that we spent some time writing out our 2019 goals.
Yes.
And we took some time to review our 2018 goals.
Yes.
And there were a lot of things that we accomplished that we didn't even have on our goal list.
That was crazy.
And so that was interesting because when we had assessed it without looking back, we go, oh, I felt like it was a pretty good year.
Yeah.
Then once we looked back, we're like, oh, we didn't
get any of, well, we a
had,
few.
A few. We didn't get the ones that we had been putting on our goal list for quite a while.
I know.
And so we reevaluate our goal list, our 2019 mm-hmm. goal list.
And we did what somebody told us to do. And if we haven't done it by now, exit off your list.
Oh, yes. We did that.
No, we're still going to try one more year.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody did tell us that.
Well, I know. And somebody else said it's a goal that you should always, if it's a goal in your heart, you should keep trying because you never know when you're going to accomplish it. You know, how do you do it? How do you live your life?
I don't know. And it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah. And as coaches, you never tell anybody what to do.
No.
But you support them in going after it, you know? It's like, okay. And I know, I'm in that quandary of, do you give up this one goal that you've had over and over again, but you just, which require a lot of energy. And see, here's the thing. You might have spent hours upon hours of dreaming about this goal.
Yeah.
So in some ways, you've spent hours and hours in the goal.
Planting seeds,
but also you feel like you've spent a lot of time in it already.
Yeah, so it's already like you made it.
Well, and also that is one way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. That's true. And so it's also you feel exhausted by it. Mm-hmm. It's no longer new. You feel like you have accomplished some stuff already, even though you probably haven't.
Yeah.
And like, how do you pick it up again?
Yeah.
And really have a strong plan, because sometimes you really have to have a strong...
And also, too, sometimes I think, like, I woke up this morning because I don't feel good. I got this rotten cold. And I said to Jules, you know, we may have, like, bit off more than we can chew with our 2019 list.
Yeah.
It just feels so overwhelming. I just want to make hot tea.
Yeah. So,
and you know,
first week of January, you're like, I'm giving it all up. I don't know. I'm done. I think it's overwhelming. Our goals for the year are overwhelming. And we know that people, you know, say you overestimate what you can do in a year and underestimate what you can do in 10 years.
Yeah.
But so I think we have some good concrete goals. Like, we're not thinking about anything right now for the house, except for the basement.
Right.
And Normano and I are working in the basement.
Yeah.
And
which is really pretty good. It's coming along.
Yeah. it's coming along. Right. And every year I debate about having a garage sale. And then I, at the end of it, I go, I'm not having a garage sale. I know. I will give it all away at Lag Center. I
know. And you just choose to use it as seed money.
That's what I got to do. Yeah. I got to do. And is there anything interesting on your list that you want to share? Or?
No, but I heard you say the word quandary. Mm-hmm. And it made me think of our friend Dan Savage. Because he always says, when you're lost in a relationship, quandary. And you're dealing with sexual harmony.
Yes.
Is there nothing you can't ask on the Savage Love cast?
Yes.
And so I heard this guy call up, Dan. And he said, several years ago, Dan, I roofied a man. And while he was roofied, I lubed his butthole and had anal sex with him. And I came inside of him. I'm pretty sure that's what he said. And he
Am I right?
I don't know.
Am I telling the truth?
I don't know, because I didn't hear this story. Oh. And I know that he goes like this. And he goes, Dan, should I go and apologize now?
Yeah.
Should I go and tell the guy
now,
all these years ago what happened and then make amends for it because I'm in a better place now?
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering.
See, the reason why I giggled.
You would have thought.
Okay. The reason why I giggled, not because it's horrific, first off, but knowing who you are.
It is kind of funny, though.
Knowing who you are, you tend to make the story. You up the story. Uh-huh. I do not. I didn't hear it.
Okay.
So I don't know if the guy was that graphic.
Okay.
And said all those things.
That he lubed him up first.
And then, you know.
I mean, I think he said that I lubed him up just to be kind. It's like, it's not like I did it.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. So first of all, years ago, I just know how sometimes guys are really, I mean, thank God for the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
Because I think that.
Remember years ago with the Jackass movement?
Yeah. People were putting stuff in their tushes all the time.
Yeah.
And it was, and also, I remember there was a time that if you went to a party and you passed out, it gave everybody permission to mess you up.
Right.
That was just what happened.
Right.
It's just what happened.
Right.
Now, that is really horrible. And for me,
yes.
Because I never, this is what I thought happened at parties because I wasn't a very party-going person and I never got drunk or passed out.
Right.
So nothing happened to me. I just got to take a second break, people. Keep talking because
my dog's looking kind of funny. Your doggy? My Elliot?
He's standing up. He's okay.
Okay, good. I was like, oh no, Elliot.
Yeah, he's okay.
I'm always prepared to, I learned, you know, in a course I took it to junior college, how to give doggy CPR.
Oh, did you?
Well, it's breath to breath or mouth to mouth. It's like actually snout to snout.
Yeah, and what I do realize that if that ever had to happen, the only thing that you'd be good for would be telling me how to give him snout to mouth. So we can.
You come on, Julie, you can do it.
I learned how to do this, Julie. Here's what you're going to do. Like, you learned so you could do it. No. No. Kidding me? I learned to tell you how to do it. I'm like,
got it.
So you're asking me what should be done with the situation.
I want to know what you would do if you were the guy that
was
having regrets.
There are probably, I bet there are a ton of people out there who have messed with people.
And have regrets about it.
Big regrets.
Yeah.
And you know what? And if the person does not remember, do not bring it up.
You know what? That's what I was going to say.
I always.
It's, you know, just because you want to clean your conscience, screw that. Man up.
Yeah.
And keep it quiet and don't hurt somebody's feelings.
It's sort of like when a woman or a man has cheated on their spouse and it's a one-time dealio and it's over and they're like, I should tell my husband
call
or
that,
wife.
They call that a one-off.
Yes. and they want to tell their spouse. I'm like, the only reason why you want to tell your spouse is because you feel bad.
Or you want to just like... Look some, yeah, there's some.
Oh, there's a lot there. The best thing to do, if you feel guilty and you're never going to do it again.
Yeah, and shut the F up.
Shut the F up. Yeah. Shut the F up.
Exactly.
Never do it in, you know, maybe treat your guy, you know, what, or work on a relationship.
Yeah.
But don't tell
Learn how to keep a secret.
Yeah. Otherwise, you literally are just causing everybody pain.
That's right.
But if you're a chronic one-upper.
Yeah. one-offer.
Oh, excuse me, chronic one-offer. Then I feel like.
See, one-upper would be like if I told a joke and you had to do one better than me, then
that's
you're one-upper.
But I do, sometimes I just feel like people know their partner and they don't want to talk about it either.
Yeah.
Like, we know. Yeah. I know, you know, we all know. It's just, we're decided to keep it a secret and, like, not bring this up and so forth.
Or we both decide to hurt each other and not
But
talk
here's
about
the thing.
It.
If you're going to tell your friends, then you got to tell your husband.
Yeah. If you're telling somebody.
You got to tell. I mean, if you're telling more than one person.
Yeah.
Then you got to tell somebody because it's going to get out and then they're going to get really pissed. Everybody knows.
Yeah. And also, too, you know what? I mean, to actually roofie a person, that's a different, I think that's a whole different level than actually finding somebody passed out drunk.
Right.
Do you think
I agree.
So?
Well, back in the day, like I said, this is what you hear. And this is, but we had many, many movies about this stuff.
We made some movies about it.
Yes, where teenage party, someone gets so drunk they pass out, and then
marijuana madness.
Yeah, exactly. And then the least were issues where you woke up with a drawn penis on your head.
That's right.
That was the least of your issues.
That's right. A penis on your forehead.
Yes. Now, thank God, we have come to the place where this is all horrible, and hopefully, we've trained our kids, our youth, to know this is like illegal,
right.
And bad crap happens. You feel, and later in life, you feel like crap for doing it.
Right?
I mean, like you feel horrible for doing it.
And where do you get roofies?
I don't know.
I mean, and what are they really? Is it real? Is it real drugs? Can you get a mail order?
I mean, I don't know.
I don't either. I mean, and where do you get?
It's Rohypnol. Rohypnol?
Oh, Rohypnol?
No, something like that.
I don't know.
A short name, roofie.
Yeah.
I don't know where you get it.
Yeah.
But I do know, I really don't know. Honestly, this is what I don't get. Mm-hmm. I remember watching, Intervention one time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were following this girl around, and she was with her family, and she was quote unquote clean, or she wasn't doing it with her parents around. Mm-hmm. But they got off the airplane, and literally within 20 seconds, this girl had already went to the bathroom and got hooked up with some drugs from the airport.
Whoa.
Like she already knew who to go and get the drugs from.
It's like magnetism.
You could let me loose in New York City on. And
the only thing you'd find would be an old hot dog.
That's exactly right. I would go. I would be in the middle going, please, somebody, give me some drugs. I don't get
Where do you go?
Where do I go to get some drugs? And people are like, she's a narc.
She does not. She does not know.
She does not. You don't know where to get it. So I can just imagine.
They're trying to prevent you from a life of drugs. To not get you.
They're just thinking, oh, they're going to, that woman there, she's just going to talk someone, tell them they're doing a really bad thing by selling drugs.
Well, I've heard though that, like Tim Ferriss, he's paying his own money, for people to study ecstasy,
yes,
and to use as a, like, normal pain reliever.
Was it? I mean, it's also marijuana, parts of marijuana. He is doing different
mushrooms.
Yeah, I don't know what drugs he's using.
MMAR. Or something like that.
Yeah, we looked it up. MBNA, I don't know, but it is ecstasy. But it was ecstasy, mushrooms, and marijuana. I don't know which ones he's using, but he is paying actual people at universities to do studies on some of these drug compounds and so forth.
Yeah.
And see, awesome.
Yeah.
That's, hey, wherever, however you want to spend your money, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's thinking it's an investment.
Yeah.
Because maybe something's going to pan
shake
out.
Shake loose, yeah.
And that, you know, like, I don't know. If I was going to try something other than marijuana, I would try MMA or whatever.
The ecstasy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And why is that?
Because I've seen people on it and they look normal. But just totally, like not even stressed out, you know. Why don't you ask? Shall I ask Alexa? Are you just asking your?
I'm just using my phone.
You're just asking your Google.
MDMA.
MDMA.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Four. It's 4-methylenedioxymethamphetamine.
Methamphetamine.
Yep.
That sounds like crack. Methamphetamine.
Well, this molecule is MDMA and it's ecstasy. And it just makes you feel a little loving mm-hmm. and uninhibited. Mm-hmm. And I would think that I would rather be given ecstasy than roofied, because I roofied, you're out.
Yeah. I would rather really, be. I would be pissed. Rather be slipped ecstasy or roofied?
Ecstasy, I think. But I would prefer not to be slipped anything, because that would make me mad.
Yeah.
If someone slipped me something that I wasn't aware of, I would go really ballistic.
Yeah.
Even if they thought they were helping me by loosening me up. I know. Screw you.
Well, like sometimes when I put on Mrs. Dash on my eggs, sometimes I accidentally get the Mrs. Dash with garlic.
Yes.
And like, man.
I didn't want
the garlic on my eggs.
I didn't want this garlic thing on my eggs. This is not good. Yeah. Well, it's not good.
I know how you feel, girlfriend.
Yeah. And so I would not like that. But what are you going to do? If you can hear that, that's our little L, our ES dog, Elliot Stabler, hanging out.
Yeah, he's just upset. He's in crate time right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Or as we call it, crate time.
Crate time, because he won't go into his crate without me being in a tone.
Yeah.
Tone for him is everything.
Communication is everything, right, girlfriend?
Yeah, and tone specifically is everything for him.
For him. Dad always goes, crate time, Elliot. And he's like, what are you thinking? Not really.
Yeah.
And then Julie goes, crate time, little man.
With a piece of sausage. And he goes right in, man.
He goes totally right in.
It's so funny. I have been wanting to share this story with you forever, and I cannot remember the story.
Was it about communication? And about tone?
No.
Because we were listening to Andrew Weil.
Yeah.
And he said that, especially like when you have a movement, mm-hmm. like with Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
The best thing you can do is say it like crate time.
Oh.
It's a movement like crate time.
You're kind of saying this a little bit off, but yes. So I did not realize that Andrew Weil grew up or was there at the same time as Timothy Leary. He's dead, right?
Timothy's dead.
How'd he die?
Also, overdose? Richard Alpert, which is Ram Dass.
Yes. Did they die of overdoses?
No.
Okay.
Ram Dass is still alive.
Timothy Leary, how'd he die?
He just died, I think. He might have died of an overdose. I don't really know.
I mean, I have no idea either, but he must have died young.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay. But what was interesting about it is that Timothy Leary, we were watching the 60s or the 70s on CNN, and he was talking about, all these kids doing LSD and marijuana, which is funny that they combine those two, because I've seen people have marijuana now, and I'm just amazed. Like, what's the big effing deal? I'm around people who chronically take it sometimes, mm-hmm. daily, and like they don't behave any differently,
except that they don't have jobs.
They're too busy, and they're keeping asking me for money so I can go buy their pot, their medical marijuana. Yeah.
Like, can you go to Colorado for me, please?
Yeah. Hey, everyone, we're doing Colorado run, and now a Michigan run, I guess, because it's now legalized, right? We better Illinois. We better get in the bandwagon here.
Illinois. I just read in our paper we are going to be number one in hemp growing.
Yay!
There. Eat that.
Hemp products.
Michigan.
Yes.
Hemp, baby. What is that like? Like from the 1900s or
exactly.
like?
Before that.
Yeah.
Because of people. Because why we don't have hemp paper, right? Because the cotton cotton growers, they said no to the hemp. And hemp's bad for you. And it gives you.
The only thing, we're going to be like head of the rope industry.
Yeah, I'm still not totally understanding the difference between hemp and marijuana.
Yeah.
Because they are different plants.
Oh, yeah.
But they say, well, it's not. It is. It's
the
not.
The hemp plant, really is like totally cool.
Yeah.
And you know what? I remember before, like I said, Julie, we have got to get a lavender and bee farm.
Yes.
And how many times have I said that?
Several times.
And how many times have I actually taken us out on trips to go get one?
A few times. And not several, but a few.
But now I'm sincere about a hemp farm.
Okay.
Sincere, girl.
I like the fact that you're thinking ahead of the curve.
Yes.
Because we always come in on the back ass of this stuff.
A little bit, yeah.
A
little bit day late, dollar short.
Yeah. We still may be a dollar short for this, but we won't be late. Yeah.
I remember like when I was like Google, Amazon. No, I'm going to buy JCPenney stock.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Did we share that story?
Yeah,
we did. Yeah, we didn't buy it because Alexa said, don't do it.
Alexa actually made a prediction that we should not spend our money.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, you did remember. Yeah, you better remember, Alexa. Yeah. You told us not to. We're holding you to that.
Exactly.
We were going to buy JCPenney socks a few days ago, and she was like, I'm not thinking about that. It's the lowest it's ever been. And
so can we do a little bit of 5-minute coaching at the end of our show?
Need
we
some got coaching, about girlfriend?
No, not me. I was just thinking, like, you know, we have a couple of phrases coming up. You know, I mean, we are coaches. Mm-hmm. You're a psychotherapist. I'm got my master's degree in education. And
we're authors. Amazon number one.
Yes,
the butterfly effect. That feels so good.
Yes.
Because I don't think there's any more number one Amazon best-selling authors anymore.
They don't do it anymore
like
that?
They don't do it. I don't think they have an algorithm anymore.
And really, we're writing our next book.
Yes.
And we're writing from all my work I did in my master's program, which was on stress and weight loss.
Yes.
And so, and that's been kind of fun.
Yes.
And we're getting to it, getting it done.
Slowly but surely.
The 10 truths that transform.
The 10 truths that transform.
Exactly. And slowly but surely, yes, I want to say that. But I want to just kind of, this is a good time. I mean, I remember they were talking about Wilde, you know.
Oscar Wilde?
No. The doctor we just talked about.
Dr. Wilde.
Andrew Wilde.
Uh-huh.
Andrew Wilde. Uh-huh. And he talks about he doesn't believe in New Year's resolutions. He doesn't. Because he goes, I live the life I lead. I love my life. I do what I want to do and so forth.
Yeah, and he said it's an artificial time of the year.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I'm like, okay.
As you make that jerking off motion.
Exactly. And thank God we know you no longer let me finish it. I appreciate that. I gave that up a long time ago.
You.
Ever since, you know, the debacle with you know, Louis C.K. I'm like, thank God.
There is a new debacle out with him. Do you know that?
I do not know that. No, what is it?
I have to tell you after the show. But they got him on tape because he was like doing a little comedy thing to a private party.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like totally horrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah, horrible, like worse than you can even imagine.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
First of all, note to self, Louis C.K., take confiscate everybody's phone, you know, or something.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Okay, good to know.
Yeah.
I always thought of him as the wounded comedian and kind of funny in a nice way. Now I realize I must have just thought I didn't get it. I thought he was always being sarcastic. He wasn't being sarcastic.
He was just being himself.
Yeah, like, ooh. Anyway, back to coaching. I don't know what the hell I was talking about. Anyway. So, and thank you. But you know what? As a culture, it's good to have a time when we reflect about the past.
Right.
Let go of what doesn't work. We can do this anytime we want to, but it's a natural time to just do it.
Yeah.
And so I want to challenge people. Take time to write a to-do list. It could be a fun to-do list. It could be things that you're like, you know, like, I want to go to the number one restaurant in Chicago. I want to pay $100 for a steak. You know, what does that steak taste like? I want to go to the trampoline park. I want to do a 40-hour movie like Christine and Julie do. You know, I mean, what if you took a list and these are just...
Well, we wanted to go to 11 Marketplace in New York City.
Yes.
The home of the world's number one restaurant.
In 2017.
And I said to Julie, you know, if we can make reservations, like, what's the cheap menu? I go, is it like maybe like $100 for lunch? And she went.
Mama, I looked at Ruth Chris Steakhouse menu and it's $85 for a steak at Ruth Chris. I'm just telling you right now,
it's
you ain't gonna go under. She's like, well, guess what do you think? I'm like $250 minimum without alcohol. I said, you're like, oh. So I looked at reservations.
Yeah,
and you have to prepay your reservations in groups of 1 to 6.
You have to prepay your meal.
Yes. And I go, what do you think, Mom? What are you thinking? And I hadn't told you what I thought. And you said, and now I knew. And she's like, oh. God, it could be more than $150 a person, could it? I go, yeah. She's like, $200 a person? I go, you're getting closer. Uh-huh. And I go, and she's like, just tell me. I go, $315 a person, and we hold our reservations.
Yeah.
And then if we got the alcohol, we'd more money. And
that's for one person.
She goes, one person? I said, yes. And I said, you wanted to have a party this year. I go, we should think about it. And she's like, I am not spending $3,000 for 10 people to go to New York just to have food. I go, but it will be the best food we've ever had.
The best duck we've ever had.
It would be their tasting menu.
Dried duck.
It's called the dinner tasting menu you get.
Oh, okay.
It's like 10 courses.
Ooh, tapas.
Yes.
And it's like, as most people pay, tapas.
Yes. So you know what, girlfriend? Why the hell not?
I think Let's do it.
So I'm saying, you know, you can do goals that are quote unquote serious, and those are good to have too.
You can do those kind of goals. You can do bucket lists. You can do fuck it lists.
Yeah.
You can do all sorts of lists.
I like the fuck it list because it's like fuck it.
Kid, let's take it
out. Yeah, fuck it, let's do it, or fuck it, let's not do it. One or the other, you know, or just the fuck it list. I fuck that too.
Yeah,
or the fuck it up list. Yeah. One or the other.
Well, that's what manage to do.
Yeah, typically manage to do that. That's my list. That's my list. And so, you know, put your intention, give it some attention,
right,
and then let it go and have no tension.
No tension. And I think the moral of the story for this year will be focus.
Yes.
Really, in like, focus the kind that you do when you meditate.
Because the one thing we did put on our goal list is to dive deeper into our OBE meditations.
Yes.
OBEs.
Yes. Obstetric, gynecologic. No.
Out of body.
Experience.
Experiences. Yeah. We're going to do that. It's going to be kind of fun. I'm hoping. So, girlfriend, how's the show?
Really, you're asking me right now in the middle of a cough. Oh, Julie, it was great.
It was great. It was great.